All right. Good morning, good morning, good morning. I just want to say whoever got the donuts, thank you. That's fantastic. There are a lot of September birthdays, so to all those who celebrate, if you had a birthday this last year, just congratulations, happy birthday. You can celebrate and join in this as well. Before we jump into this morning with continuing to walk through Ephesians and some concepts and thoughts from that, I have a good friend, Justin, who's in town. He came to lose a lot of money in poker this weekend and just asked him to come and just share. It's been really fun. Since we've gotten to know Brian and Hallie, by extension, we've gotten to know Justin and Summer, their family. He's got 5 kids, works hard in Casper, Windy City. And he's just been a real sponge for a lot of the trainings and things that we're trying to do here. He's been just gobbling up a lot of the perspectives trainings, a lot of our marriage skills trainings, and different things. And so by extension, just that you guys would see as we partner within the greater body of Christ, that there's just this blessing to the kingdom. There's not this big brand of Beggar's Gate that's in Casper, Wyoming. But there is an effect of God's goodness and his kingdom that's coming there. And just want to give him a chance to share about what that's looking like and give a life update. So welcome Justin up here to give a little bit of an update for us.
I guess there's nothing left to share. Thanks, Nathan. Yeah. I'll share maybe just a little. I shared earlier, and I know there were some folks not here. So I'm Justin. I'm married to this awesome lady, Summer. We have 5 kids, 12, 10, 8, 4, and 4. And, so go back years ago through Brian and Hallie in connecting with these guys. We went through a perspectives course and really changed my wife and I, our outlook on things, what we prioritized, what was important as far as God's economy and kingdom, and really changed our lives to the point where it was like, man, we can't look at we can't go back to how it was kind of the idea. Unfortunately, I think for a time, we probably did, truthfully. We're like, man, it would be great to have perspectives in Wyoming. It's never been in Wyoming. And so it took this coordinator's class, and Nathan calls, and hey, dude, there's a guy from Casper that's in the coordinator's class. Oh, cool. So I met him. Then we began to pray, and then I get another call from Nathan. Hey, I just got a phone call from another guy in Casper that wants to know what it looked like doing perspectives. And so God was doing something, and there were people there, which was awesome. So we began to pray and meet together, and here we are. Pat and Cindy were up there last week for week 5 of perspectives, first one in Wyoming, which is great. And and so really, really hopeful for that and beginning to see some things. Pat earlier asked this question, like kind of the spiritual climate there in Wyoming. I was born and raised in Casper, and I've lived there for 40 years. What's that?
You're how old?
I know. Yeah, I had a guy the other day. He thought I was 25. I'm like, no, I'm not. Not even close. It is interesting because we have people come from out of town and they're like, dude, what is up with this place? I'm like, what do you mean? You know, this is where I grew up. There's maybe some things I don't always notice, but there is a lot of independence. There's churches everywhere. Is that fair to say? You guys saw that? You can park on a hill and you're like, oh, there's just churches all over the place. But a lot of independence, a lot of church moving, I mean, just people church to church, and that just happens all over. The kind of cowboy, independent, critical, cynical of everything, pretty much. That's somewhat the climate. And so even getting the perspectives as far as even in churches, I mean, people are like, nah, nope. No thanks. So that's what's going on. But since perspectives have started, even some of the people in the class, like I think when Pat was there asking some of the changes, there was one lady, she's at this Episcopal church, and she was sharing that she was like the leading Christian, like instructor or, you know, education or whatever. And one of the big things for her was like, oh, I just thought the Bible was like just kind of this guideline on how to live. And so that gives you some insight into like she's like the teacher. And so a revelation for her of like, oh, it is a story. And that was actually, that's been kind of the common theme that we've seen with some of the big changes in perspective paradigms is, oh, it's a story of what God is doing, and he calls us to it, and we should do that. So we're hopeful that, Lord willing, this can be the start of something that can begin to gather, you know, a group of people, a community up there that are like, hey, we want to do this, and we want to do this together. So that's what's going on with Perspectives in Wyoming, and so I hope what I share is encouraging, but then it's also a thankful thing for me of, you know, thanks. I mean, it is an extension of this. So is that, you got any?
Do you want to share it all about kind of your marriage skills
yeah.
class, Connect stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So you guys know Brian and Hallie. They invited us down to a marriage thingy down here years ago, a retreat. And I was like, oh, that'll be nice. It'll be nice to get away to a marriage thingy retreat. And it was not what I anticipated, which was a good thing, by the way. It was like hard and emotionally exhausting, and it changed our lives, and it changed our marriage completely in a good way, as far as, you know, these ideas of pursuing oneness and just understanding each other. I learned a lot about myself as well. So I was really grateful for that. And just like Perspectives, it was like, man, it would be great to have this up in Casper. Like, it is needed. And so we did kind of a hybrid thing with these guys. Nathan came up, and we taught some stuff up there, and then had the final day down here. And then my wife and I began to host them. I'm not sure how many we've done up there, 4 or 5 over the past few years. And it's really honestly been word of mouth. Like from other churches, like I'll get a phone call like, hey, I hear you guys are doing this. We've heard, you know, life-changing things. Would you guys want to do this at our church? And so we've been doing that. A few encouraging things that we see, you know, beyond us is there was one couple that did the hybrid one, and it rescued their relationship. And they are now leaders in it, and they lead, and they teach, and they host. And then we have another couple, the CCs. And I asked him, I was like, oh, they asked if we'd share some testimony. Is there anything you'd want me to share? And he was like, dude, like, you're looking at him. Like, this is, and it changed his life, but it changed their marriage. And them, too, they are now leaders in it, teaching and hosting. And he was really great after the first one. You know, the practicing element, he would ask me something, I'd share something, he'd be like, man, that's really awesome, like, I'm so happy that, you know, you got to do that. And he'd be like, you see what I'm doing there, you know? I'm like, I see, Mike. So that's been really encouraging. And even the testimony from that, I mean, hearing a lot of, you know, people that have been married for a long time, and even older couples, like, this is the first time ever we feel like there's an open door of some kind to even be able to discuss these things, or learning things about themselves and learning things about their spouse. And I think the big thing, though, is just raising the bar of oneness, and not, you know, hey, as long as you don't get divorced, that's good. Raising the bar of, no, there is a high call in this, and oneness, you know, what you're comparing it to is Jesus and the Father, and that's like a really, really, really high thing. So, yeah, really encouraging, awesome to see what's going on, and it's great to look back and be thankful and just see the growth and health that's happening, even just in a small bit. And I am hopeful that will continue. So,
yeah, for sure. So, anybody have any questions about Casper or about what Justin and them are doing up there?
It is windy there.
What's the average
Yeah. We do have numerous days a year where we'll have winds gusts over 100 miles an hour. Like, that's not uncommon. And through town, that outer road, outer drive, they call it. I mean, just all throughout the year. Especially, it gets really windy in the winter time. Semis, like, blown over in town. It's pretty common. Yeah, I'm like, why do I live here? I do want to leave, but I just don't feel like I have permission to by God right now.
our advice when we were leaving on Wednesday, because it was supposed to be 60 plus mile an hour winds coming home, and we were going to get and one of the gals told me, she said, here's the deal. Don't drive next to semis because they can tip or the drivers fall asleep often. I'm like, okay, thanks.
Right. Thanks for sharing, buddy. Yeah. Thanks for sharing. So just kind of in that vein, just wanted to remind us is that we do see our expression of faith is not not a product, not something to brand everywhere and print T-shirts and do everything like that, but more of just saying, where is God working? How can we invest in these things? Just for your sake, just wanted to remind us of what we call our one percenters. 1% of our previous year's giving goes to these 10 people. And we just say, we just want to bless you and give towards the ends of the earth, towards those that are in gospel ministry, towards those that are reaching the unreached. And Utam was just in town this last week, kind of spur of the moment, said, hey, you want to grab lunch? I said, I'd love to. And so we went to Durbar and got some curry and some good Nepali food, and just catching up with him and just hearing him say, like, here's what our ministry is doing. This is what it looks like, and the number of engagements and life group leaders and people in Nepal that he's helping to reach. And our commitment is to be a church that's blessed to be a blessing to others, a church that wants to be a conduit towards whatever God's doing, and a people that love to do that. And so when you give, some of that's going to this. Some of that went to carpet. Some of that went to other things. But we want to just see ourselves as a ministry towards the ends of the earth, towards the gospel. The mission of the church is to make disciples of all nations and to teach and to baptize and to help them see all that they have in Christ. So just wanted to remind us of that and that's going on. Utam sends his thanks for that support. It's really changing lives. And if you could just start to sit in those times and just hear, you know, it's not like we're funding everything, but part of your expression of faith and prayers and giving and life is going to make disciples in Nepal. It's going to make disciples in the Middle East. It's going to make disciples in Japan. It's going to make disciples in Central Asia. That's all part of your share of your faith that you get to share it. Yes. So Word of God Speaks Ministry is Jonathan Williams. And so he was a pastor in our former Association of Churches, and he does a lot of storytelling over the radio that goes into closed access countries. And so it's narrating and storytelling of biblical stories for them. I think a lot of it in India is where it's gaining a lot of traction. But that's Jonathan Williams in his ministry. So he was based out of Missouri. Missouri and then San Antonio. Yeah. Any other questions about any of that? Just good to have that again as a reminder. So we've been in the book of Ephesians, and we've kind of turned this corner from what does it look like, the Spirit-controlled life, the Spirit-filled life, into how does God think about relationships? How does God think about these things that we find ourselves in every different, you know, place and role and time that we go into, and how does God think about marriage and work and family and government and all these different things? And as we've looked at it, I appreciated Pat teeing it up last week. It does first start with, and we're not going to go back over, but it does just first start with, where are we going to say we get our truth from? Are we going to listen to the voices in our heads? Are we going to listen to the voices of our culture? Are we going to listen to the voice of God, the Word of God? And I'd encourage you to go back, listen to that. That's where we land. This would be a leadership team that believes we can read the Word in this area and draw not just practical, but inherently this is tied up in the nature of who God is. as we walk these things out. And so we just want to take some weeks to explore that, to look under that, and to get curious. God, what are you up to in all of this? Why this? Why would God have a mind towards this? There's no verse in Ephesians that says, and make sure to tell them that they sing six songs. And make sure to tell them that their service isn't longer than an hour and a half. There's none of those things that we tend to associate with what church, you know, what are the details of church? What the letter is filled with is your power for living in and with Christ. A reminder of the gospel. Your opportunity to partner and join with him and to see the kingdom come in your life as you're filled with the Spirit, in your relationships, and in this world. And so we just started to look at this turning of the corner at the end of Ephesians 5, the idea of not getting drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Okay, so we're going to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, this idea of we're all going to come under what is God's plan. We're all going to arrange ourselves under how does God think about all of life. And that includes submitting to one another. If it's like, okay, this morning submitting to you is eating half a donut, I'd be happy to do that. Or helping to vacuum, or whatever it might be. Can I carry your luggage? Can I do whatever it might be to be a servant and a blessing? Now, as we zoom in, and then he turns the corner into marriages. We're not going to look specific at the specifics today, but just to see that turn from Spirit, discussion, thanksgiving, submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. And Pat talked about this idea that the word there of hupotasso, that we're going to arrange ourselves under. This idea of a military term, arranging a troop in a military fashion under the command of a leader. Saying that there is a way that this gets done. There's a structure. There's it's not just, you know, going to the playground in middle school and just mayhem. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I want to do this. There's a way that God wants to do this. In non-military use, it was a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. So this is all just review from last week of some things Pat was sharing. So that it's not this heavy-handed kind of like moment by moment has to look this way, but it's this posture, it's this attitude. God has set things in order and arranged things that we go, what does that order look like, Lord? How can we come up under that? And so that primary expression of Spirit-filledness, giving thanks always, and reverence for Christ will be arranging ourselves under, coming under, saying, God has thoughts on all that. He's told us very clearly, very plainly what those things are. And so this attitude of saying, I want to come up under that. I want to live that way. And I wanted to look at a few different maybe sidebars to that and reinforce some things in that as well. So this idea of coming under, we can quickly look at, well, who's the one that's called to submit? And that's just, you know, domineering and authoritarian. You know, in some of our hearts, maybe the word submission feels like a four-letter word. And it feels like this crushing thing. And yet, it's all over Scripture, not just in marriage, family, work. That's our attitude. We submit to the Lord. We submit to Jesus. We follow him. And this attitude in 1 Peter 2 to be subject, that's that same word, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. So this is a different voice than Paul in Ephesians, but he's saying, if there's any human institution, and here he's talking about government, the attitude is, for the Lord's sake. And that would be my primary call this morning is, do you see this for the Lord's sake? because there's a lot of reasons to not want to do any of this. But can you see for the Lord's sake? Can you see? There's very few places in Scripture where it says explicitly, this is the will of God. And so often we can just feel like, Lord, what should I do? What's going on? What does it look like? It's very plain. You don't have to pray about it. It's written right here for us to read. This is the will of God, that you, by doing good, should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. How do you do that? You live as people who are free. Is the emperor actually the one that's in charge of everything? No, I'm free. I'm free in Christ. But I'm going to use that freedom to be now a servant of God's will for his sake. I'm choosing to take that yoke and to arrange myself under that. You know, emperor, that you have no say on my life. You can do whatever you please. Who was the emperor when Peter wrote this? It was this crazy man. Nero. I just want us to see how radical the word of God is. And as we think about authority and submission, and immediately we go, what about bad authority? And we don't think the writers of the New Testament had bad authority, that they were writing to people to walk under and to find faith in. This man was sadistic, hunting Christians in Rome to crucify them, to light them on fire as human torches. And Peter says, honor the emperor. Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. And do you think the people, as they were being burned alive, said, Christianity didn't work for me. I was trying to get out of debt. I was just about to get a new buggy. What was going through their minds as they submitted and arranged themselves under God's will? Is Christ worthy? Has he come and changed and rearranged everything for you? That's where we have to start, is who gets to call the shots? Because whether it's your favorite political candidate now, or Nero, or whatever place you find yourself in, there will be a reason that you go, I don't have to do that. Or we can live as people who are free and live as servants. This is God's realm. This is God's word. This is what he said. Christians were fed to the beasts. So this isn't a call for convenience. And if we're looking for convenience in any of this, there'll quickly be reasons to say, that's not convenient for me. That's not practical. That's not logistically going to work well. Okay. How do we approach this? What is for the Lord's sake? What is for the Lord's sake? If Nero was our leader right now, and I said, be subject to Nero for the Lord's sake, how would that land in you? Where would you go with that? How do we think about these things? And so that's what we're looking at, is are there human institutions that God has created that aren't for us to just play with and say, yes, no, maybe, but to just go, this is the Lord's will. He's plainly told us. And as we look at the Trinity, this is what we see. This is what we're dwelling on. This is the image of God that we've been coming back to. All bound up within Father, Son, and Spirit, the image of God is perfect relationship, perfect care, perfect trust, and yet there are roles in that. The Father sends the Son. The Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. They are equal and yet different. And it's not that hard for me, in my mind, the Trinity is, there's one what and three who. There's one what and three who. And so you are a one what, one who. What are you is you're a human being. Who are you is your name. And God is a one what, three who. And he's in perfect relationship always. So a lot of these images, this was really delivered and imprinted into my heart about 17 years ago. Went through this semester-long small group study at the church in Fort Collins I was with called the Truth Project. So this idea is something that for the last 17 years has been pretty clear in my mind. And a lot of these images are going to be from that focus on the family study called the Truth Project. It's great study, but this isn't stuff we're just making up. This is what God's written. This is what he's given us. You can't understand the Gospel of John without understanding hierarchical relationships. You just can't. All of the things that Jesus mentions that the Father does and that he's listening and submitting to, you can't understand for God so loved the world without hierarchical relationships. He sent his only Son. And the Son said, yes, let's do it. I'm with you. I'm submitting to your plan, Father. Let's go rescue him. Let's go get him. This perfect relationship. So, Pat showed a video last week of this kind of relationship of the starlings. Do you guys remember that? Kind of the birds that were working together. And so, wanted to show you another video in creation that just paints this picture of what is this oneness that God's trying to do of the Trinity. He's trying to show this picture, the image of God, and he stamped it everywhere. And so I see your starlings and I raise you a hive of bees.
Invisible.
I don't have the audio lined up. Hang on. 20 seconds. Oops. Other side. One of those. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. Okay, well, we'll just watch it. You'll still see the effect. I'll just turn up really loud on my laptop.
There's a sort of invisible barrier around the hive. It's about 20 inches away. Cross that line, and something astonishing happens.
Can you turn this mic on, Sam?
Strategy. If the bees spot a predator breaking through that perimeter, they flip their bodies, starting this massive chain reaction. It's like they're somehow all connected, and not just by touch, but like they're thinking as a single unit.
Doesn't amount to much. But as a swarm, they can create something big enough or confusing enough to deter almost any attacker.
Did you know bees can do that? Who put that inside the bee? How could that have come one step at a time, one bee at a time? That is hardwired into the bee. And they all cooperate together in oneness, unison, to do that. Now, if one of those bees goes, you know, I'm kind of getting tired of this whole defense thing, and I'm kind of tired of kind of flipping like this, and I'm just going to take the day off, right? Slowly, what's going to happen? That whole group is going to get eaten by the lizards or whatever else is going to come. And yet bees perfectly live out bee-like life. They do it. I don't know if they even think about doing it. They kind of just do it. What God has given us the opportunity is to choose to join with him. The elk are going to elk. The bees are going to bee, right? The animals are going to do the nature that God's given them to do in herds and in oneness and starlings. You and I get a choice to say, in faith, Jesus, I see what you're trying to do here. and I'm going to choose to join with you in this. And that's to your reward, to choose in faith to join with him. That's an opportunity for you to do that. He does not force it. He doesn't say, every human, go like this all together at the same time. You get to choose to say, will I link? Will I connect? Will I see the picture of God and what he's trying to do and give my heart to come up under and arrange myself under that we are stronger together than we are apart? This isn't for us to jettison and throw away, but for us to say we are going to unite in faith in this. And so this picture of oneness is what God is painting. This is the image of God. Perfect relationship in complementarian roles. Someone who's responsible for, someone who's responding to. Now, he's not going to force you to do that. You're not a bee. You're not a starling. You get to choose in faith. Do I treasure that? Do I value that? Do I see that? Do I want to walk in that? Do I want to honor for the Lord's sake what that looks like in this world? Perfect relationship, perfect care, perfect trust, perfect love, perfect closeness, perfect tenderness, being known, flowing through authority, submission, leading, responding, working together and complementing each other. So this is what, as we zoom out from who God is to the family and what Ephesians 5 and 6 are trying to talk about is in these different arenas, these different spheres, God has made it very clear. This is what the image of God looks like. This is the thumbprint of God. Husband, wife, children, in lots of different verses. We're not going to go into the details of this. But this is the image he's trying to create. This is what he's trying to duplicate all across the planet. He's trying to maximize joy, maximize love, maximize care, maximize complementary roles, covering and caring for weakness, bringing strength, self-sacrifice in equal yet different people. And this idea that was made very clear to me in this Truth Project series, if you've never been through it, my hope is at some point take my kids through it because it's just really well done. This idea of sphere sovereignty. So these different spheres of family, where, you know, talks about labor, your work, the government, all these different things. Just because there's an authority in one sphere, that does not translate to every sphere. Right? So just because the police officer is an authority when I'm driving or living or doing something, he can't come over to my house and go, all right, I'm the man of the house now, right? Because I'm in authority everywhere. No, you've got authority in your home. You've got authority in your workplace. There's certain aspects and roles and places where these are played out, but they are sovereign over each other. And that's why the encroachment of government over all things is so dangerous. Because God has assigned different authorities in different places. And the tendency is for governments to go, okay, we're in charge of everything. We're the authority of everything. We're going to get to say about everything. And God goes, no, you don't. You'll have to be judged for that. And there's times where we live under regimes that are doing that, but that is not God's will. That's not his plan. And there's not that overlap. So we think about this image, and God is trying to build this thumbprint. Think about it, the thumbprint, the unique thumbprint of God, where people will go, that just seems like a God-like thing. And it's transpiring in your family and in the church and in your work and in the government, that thumbprint of peace and trust and relationship and this joyful cooperation and this idea of oneness and caring for each other, that your home would be this expression of the kingdom of God, where people go, man, there's just a lot of peace and care. Seems like this home is just living. And believe me, I understand. I've got 4 kids. There's Legos everywhere. There's things where it's like, that's what we're shooting for, though. In all of the mayhem, in all of the schedule swapping, of all of that, that we're united in this connected place of we want to image something bigger. In your workplace, that you go, man, God just created us to create and produce and to bring good. How can we think the thoughts of God after him and to bring good to others? Could we bring that heart into our work? Could we bring that heart into our government? I don't know if you know about this. This is from the City of Loveland Police Department. This is from their website, okay? The City of Loveland's Police Department has said their vision – is one community, one police department, one team. I'm hearing a lot of oneness. What's their mission? Justice, kindness, humility. Interesting. A police department's mission is justice, kindness, and humility. If you see any new Loveland police cars, that's what's painted on the back of them. Justice, kindness, humility. Anybody think of those three words that's ever shown up in anywhere before? Anything coming to mind? Shout out. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. Do you know the police chief loves Jesus? There's this amazing Bible study going on in the police department. How might our government of the city change as we go, we want to image God to this world? They've put it in their mission statement. It's on their police cars. They're trying to bring the kingdom, what that could look like. In that same heart, whether you're a police officer or you're helping care for people or you're creating widgets or you're designing things, whatever it is, and we go, what would it look like for God's kingdom to come here? For his image to be here? And so this idea of the grain of the universe, the grain of the universe that God is working towards is his image displayed. For him to be on display, worship, glorified, and for us to go, you are wise. You are good. All of your ways are trustworthy. All of your ways have been tried and are true. In our hearts, what I didn't realize when I got this picture of the wood, doesn't that not kind of look like a person's face? I didn't realize that until I got it. It's like, we can go against that face. We can go against that image. And just in our hearts, is it settled, Lord, I want to go with the grain of the universe. I want to go with what you've hardwired within us. And you've given me the choice. I'm not a bee. I'm not an elk where I just have to rut because that's what I do. I get to choose to cooperate with your plan. I get to choose to cooperate with your design. Okay, so what do we need? This is why the beginning of Ephesians is written. When you come up against the practicals and the obedience call of what God has given us, you go, this is really hard. This is impossible. I don't understand this. I'd rather it not be this way. Might I encourage you to go back to the beginning of the letter? Because that's where the delivery of God's grace and his power and all of the mechanism to execute God's will is in the gospel and his goodness and in his nature and in his character. So when you go, I don't understand this, Lord. I've had Nero-like people in my life. Really hard to understand authority and submission to. We go back to the beginning. He's given the riches of his grace. He's lavished on us. He's given us all wisdom and insight. He's made known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, including your marriage, including where you work. He's trying to unite all things in him with your local government, with this church body and other local churches. That's his plan. Okay, Lord, there's something big, grand, cosmic that you are doing, way beyond that I can understand. I need that wisdom. I need your power. That's why Paul's praying for these believers. Would they be filled with your power? Not just to grasp the gospel, but then to say, I'm now activated to obey and live this out. That you could know the hope to which he's called you. What the riches are of his glorious inheritance in the saints. How much good God has for those Christians that were burnt and lit on fire. Do you believe that Christianity worked for them? Is this true? To those that were fed to the beasts, to those that have suffered in numerous, numerous ways, if it's not, probably just got to throw this whole thing out. If all of human expression can't be experienced in with what God's truth is delivering to us, that there's either a reconciliation of what we're experiencing, what humans have gone through, or there's a bunch of mumbo jumbo. can it fit under that? Can we arrange ourselves under that? What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. You realize in the age to come, there is no marriage. Jesus said that. There's only one marriage. It's the bridegroom and the bride, Jesus and his church. It's now that you get to cooperate and partner with this. Because then there won't be a choice. We'll be like the beast because we'll be rejoicing. There won't be that resistance. We'll delight to walk in that image. There is no local church expression in the age to come because there's just one church. There's one shepherd and one people. There aren't all these bosses that some of them are good and some of them are awful. There's just one master and one owner. And he says, I've got great work for you to do. Do you realize now is the time? This is the only time you get to image this in faith. Now is the opportunity to get to do this. Because in the age to come, Jesus will be perfectly in all of these roles and we will perfectly be able to walk in all of them. Now's the time we get to trust. Now's the time we get to have faith. Do you see that as an opportunity? I see that as a great opportunity. How rare a jewel in this world to get to display that. Now is that opportunity. In the age to come, he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Do we see all things under his feet? Presently, right now, there's still a war. But he's in the process of putting all things under his feet. He's in the process of putting all of our expressions and experiences, all the ways that we would try to work out faith. He's saying, I will be all in all. I will be all in all. I will not be some in some. I will be all in all. And that's what God is working towards. Do we want to work with that grain that he's living in? So that's the goal, to be a fully formed follower of Jesus, that we would all see that and say, I just want to come up under that and arrange myself with whatever that might look like, whatever you might call me to, Lord, and to get to partner and to see that happen this side of eternity. It's our joy. So, Lord, we do just ask that you'd help us to see that. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for faith. Thank you, Lord, that you treasure faith. You are pleased with faith and trust. And I pray for each of us, as we've all had different expressions and experiences of understanding authority, understanding submission, Lord, and where that lands. Lord, I pray that you would just be ministering to our hearts your truth, your love, your comfort, your peace. Help us to see your plan. Help us to agree with you, God. Your ways are right and good. And though every man be a liar, you are faithful and true. Though every person be a bad authority in some way, shape, or form, Lord, that we would see that your design is good and you are trustworthy. It's for the Lord's sake. It's for your sake, Jesus, that I want to arrange myself under your will and your design. And I pray that you would lead us in this time, Lord. Pray that you'd lead us as we think about these concepts of marriage, family, and government, and work, and church, that we would all just want to come up under your plan, that we would put ourselves under your feet, your ruling good kingdom ways in our lives. I want to submit to you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. All right. Have a great morning.